Welcome to Blackter. Join me as I examine the best of Black artists in my quest to becoming one myself. Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Blackter. I am your host, Gabe Moses. Last episode, we took a look at a lifetime of tremendous performances and achievements by André DeShields. At the end of that episode, you may remember hearing this.
So, this is how you get out from under the bad name of Harper Avery?
This is a clip from a Grey's Anatomy episode from season 14. In that scene was the subject of today's episode, Miss Debbie Allen, an actress, dancer, singer, choreographer, director, and producer. Debbie Allen is a woman full of many talents. The gifts she has brought to this world are beyond extraordinary. Throughout the episode, we'll be taking a look at her early background and what led her to a successful career in the performing arts. It'll be impossible for me to take a look at every single piece of art Allen has touched, so we'll be examining most of her game-changing moments. Now, let's start at the beginning, and let's get into it. Deborah K. Allen was born on January 16, 1950, in Houston, Texas. She was the third child. Her mother, Vivian Ayers Allen, was a writer and a Pulitzer Prize-nominated poet. Her father, Andrew Arthur Allen Sr., was a dentist. At the age of three, Allen began dancing and was determined to become a performer. Her parents recognized her gift immediately and enrolled her in dance classes by the age of five. When Allen was 7 years old, her parents divorced. Her mother was left by herself to care for her children. Mother Vivian became strict and always made sure her children had chores to do around the house. While performing chores, they were also required to consistently write, which encouraged creative thinking. Vivian was instilling independence and maturity in her children at a very early age. In 1960, Vivian took her children and moved to Mexico. She was simply trying to escape the hardships and struggles of living as a Black family in America. She also wanted a better childhood for her kids. Although their mother did not speak Spanish, let alone know anyone in Mexico, the children just went along with the ride. After about 2 years, the Allen family returned to Houston, Texas. Allen was 12 years old when she auditioned for the Houston Ballet School. She had a beautiful performance that could have easily gotten her into the school, but unfortunately, she was denied because of the color of her skin. However, about a year later, one of the instructors got the chance to see Allen dance in a show and enrolled her into the program. After admissions found out about the decision, she was allowed to stay in the program due to her unique talents and skills as a dancer. She trained for a few years under ballet teacher Suzelle Poole. When she was 16 years old, she auditioned for the North Carolina School of the Arts. After what was a successful audition, Allen moved on to the next round with several students to show off more of her technique. While she succeeded in showing off her talent, her application was ultimately denied because of her body type. Her body was deemed to be quote-unquote unsuited for a ballet dancer. However, her skin color was really what was at play. Heartbroken by the outcome, Allen was determined to continue to work hard for what she wanted. Throughout high school, she put most of her focus on her studies and applying to colleges. As a high honor roll student, Allen was accepted into Howard University in Washington, D.C. In 1971, she graduated cum laude with a bachelor's degree in Greek literature, speech, and drama. After graduating, she went straight to New York to audition. She landed a role in the musical Pearly as a dancer and background ensemble member. This would mark her Broadway debut and the road to success very soon in her career. In October of 1973, Allen originated the role of Benita Younger in the musical adaptation of Lorraine Hansberry's A Raisin in the Sun, titled Raisin.
That's not a man. That's nothing but a toothless rat.
What you say?
I said that that individual in that room is no brother of mine.
Oh?
Mama, you saw him down on his knees. Now, wasn't it you who taught me to despise any man who would do what he's getting ready to do?
This production was definitely a major jumpstart on her journey to becoming a professional performer. While continuing to pursue dance and theater, Allen would make her television debut in a two-part episode of the CBS sitcom Good Times in 1976. She played the character of JJ's fiance, Diana, who had a hidden drug problem.
Diana, are you feeling better now, honey?
Oh, yeah, Ma. It's just one of my headaches. I took some aspirins. They really do a job. Are you all still fighting about that elopement?
We ain't fighting about it because it's off. You got that?
Okay. It's off. It's nothing to worry about. They're right, JJ. Maybe we shouldn't get married.
Don't say that, Diane. Here I am fighting Custer's last stand, and you come out speaking Comanche.
Honey, if our parents are that much against it, it must be wrong. You know, parents do know best.
But, Diane, you said we'd elope.
JJ, let's just give it up. We can wait. What's a few years?
Her performance was one to remember, as she looked like a seasoned actress at the age of 26. Her next standout moment would be a replacement in the hit musical Ain't Misbehavin' in 1978, her third Broadway musical. The next year, she made an appearance in an episode of Alex Haley's television miniseries, Roots, The Next Generation. The show examined race relations in America from the 1880s to the 1960s. Her big screen debut would be a film called The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh, as the character Ola. She also served as the choreographer. After a decade of introducing herself into the industry, Allen would begin to be a trailblazer in the 80s. In February of 1980, Allen would be seen in the Broadway revival of West Side Story as Anita. She received great attention for the role and opened the eyes of audience members, especially with her performance in the musical number America. Her performance earned her Tony and Drama Desk Award nominations. Although she did not win the Tony, she won a Drama Desk Award for Outstanding Featured Actress in a Musical. Her once-in-a-lifetime performance in West Side Story landed her a role in the hit musical drama film, Fame. In May of 1980, Fame premiered in theaters. The story follows students in a performing arts high school as they auditioned for the drama, music, and dance departments. Allen was seen as the character Lydia, a dance instructor. The film was an instant success and showcased dance on screen in a new light. In 1981, Allen would be seen in her next film, Ragtime, in the role of Sarah. Before it was a major hit musical, Ragtime was a novel by E.L. Doctorow. Set in New York at the turn of the century, the film centers around three groups of people from different backgrounds who come together to see their similarities. At the start of 1982, Allen would be the only cast member from Fame to reprise her role in the television series on NBC.
You learn something once, and it's yours for life. But first, you have to become a dancer. Now, you may be hot stuff up in Harlem, or you may have the best tutu collection in the country. Doesn't matter. I don't have time for prima donnas. You want to become a dancer? You're going to have to work. Work your little tights off. You've got big dreams. You want fame. Well, fame costs. And right here is where you start paying. In sweat. I want to see sweat. And the better you are, the more sweat I'm going to demand. So if you never had to fight for anything in your life, put your gloves on and get ready for round one. And Mama and Daddy's little darlings had better come out swinging.
She served as a series regular as well as a producer and choreographer. For season one alone, Allen was nominated for a Primetime Emmy Award for Outstanding Actress in a Drama Series In that same year, she was nominated for an Emmy for Outstanding Choreography and won in both 1982 and 1983, making her the first African-American man or woman to win the award. Throughout the show's run, she continued to be nominated for Emmys and won a Golden Globe Award for Best Actress in a Musical or Comedy Series. The show ran for 6 seasons and ended in October of 1987. During the run of fame, Allen began her path to directing. In 1984, she directed a Janet Jackson music video and went on to direct several episodes of Fame. Also in 84, she married her second husband, Norm Nixon, a former basketball player for the Los Angeles Lakers. In 1986, she was in her next film called JoJo Dancer, Your Life is Calling, which was directed by and starring Richard Pryor. In April of that year, Allen would be seen in her next Broadway musical, a revival of Sweet Charity, as the title character. Directed and choreographed by Bob Fosse, the musical follows the story of a New York taxi dancer, played by Allen, who is searching for love. Her performance earned her another Tony nomination for Best Actress in a Musical. She was also nominated for a Drama Desk Award for Outstanding Actress in a Musical. In the last few years of the 80s, Allen continued to act, direct, and choreograph. She was nominated for several more Emmys for her work on television. In 1988, she choreographed the musical Carrie on Broadway. The next year, she directed and choreographed the Debbie Allen Special, a variety show featuring Little Richard, Spike Lee, Whoopi Goldberg, and her sister, Felicia Rashad.
I'm so excited about the guests that I have tonight. And before they change their minds, let me hurry and explain what the show is about. Well, it's about show business because that's what I know best. Now, it's 4 separate stories. The first is a story about a dancer who goes to an audition, and her name is Debbie. The second one is about an actress who's starring in her first Broadway show, and she meets with the most powerful critic in town on her opening night. Her name is also Debbie. The third one is about a struggling Hollywood starlet who goes on her first and what should be her last blind date. Need I tell you, her name is Debbie too. The last one is about an actress who's starring in her first major motion picture and breaking up with her boyfriend at the same time. I won't bother to tell you what her name is. I'm sure you've guessed it already. So it's 4 separate stories about 4 different girls named Debbie. Maybe that's why they asked me to do this special.
She was nominated for Emmys for both choreography and the direction of the program. After the break, we'll look at how Allen's career continues to blossom into something truly special. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to the episode. In 1990, Debbie Allen directed episodes of several television shows, including The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and was continuing work on the sitcom A Different World, a spin-off of The Cosby Show. Allen had been one of the show's main producers and directed over half of the episodes. In November of that year, her choreography was featured in the 30th anniversary of the Motown event. In 1991, she won yet another Primetime Emmy Award for Outstanding Choreography. She was also honored with a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. From 1992 to 1999, she would choreograph 4 Academy Award ceremonies and be nominated for Emmys for all of them. At the 67th Academy Awards in 1995, she won an NAACP Image Award for Outstanding Choreography in Film or Television. She returned to acting in movies in 1994 with a supporting role in the film Blank Check. In 1995, she directed and appeared in the film Out of Sync, which starred LL Cool J. Also in 1995, Allen began starring in a new sitcom called In the House. The show starred LL Cool J, Alfonso Ribeiro, and Kim Wayans. Alan played a newly divorced single mother named Jackie, who has to rent out a room in the house of a professional football player, played by LL Cool J.
So I really didn't expect to find myself back on the job market at this point in my life. I mean, the last time I worked, I was waitressing to put my husband through law school. And that was, 20 years ago and 19 years before he had his midlife crisis named Sasha. I know I'd make an excellent legal secretary. I was married to a lawyer. I even know a fair amount of case law. I know you can't kill someone just because he bought Sasha a bigger wedding ring. All in all, I'm really very happy with my life. I have two wonderful children, a Sears charge card that my husband forgot to cancel. So from here on out, I have nowhere to go but up. And yeah, I'm a little scared. But I'm excited, and I really, really need this job.
The show was canceled after 2 seasons, but picked back up for 2 more seasons in 1998. However, Alan did not return for the 3rd season. She was a producer on the movie Amistad and was nominated for a Producer Guild of America Visionary Award. Her work as a director, choreographer, and actress in the 90s would set her up for huge milestones to come in the 2000s. In 2001, Alan opened the Debbie Allen Dance Academy in Los Angeles, California. Based on their website at debbieallendanceacademy.com, this nonprofit organization provides a comprehensive curriculum for their committed students, ages 4 and up, expanding the reach of dance and theater arts with the hope of enriching, inspiring, and transforming the lives of its students. With an emphasis on classical ballet and modern dance, Academy students follow a schedule designed by Alan. Techniques studied also include African, flamenco, hip-hop, jazz, and tap dance. Based on their skill level, students are placed in levels A, B, or C, with 9 to 10 classes per week. The founding principles of DADA are based on the belief that arts education defines discipline, creativity, and self-confidence. These principles empower individuals, whether they pursue a dance career or not. This is for life. DADA has become renowned for its faculty, its commitment to furthering the art of dance, and the incredible young artists who have emerged from the academy. Alan has provided students with scholarships so they can attend her program regardless of financial status. In 2006, Alan directed a television biographical film called Life is Not a Fairy Tale, The Fantasia Barrino Story. The film starred Fantasia as herself, along with Loretta Devine, Kadeem Hardison, and Miss Viola Davis as Fantasia's mother. The next year, Alan would be seen as a guest judge on So You Think You Can Dance, where she was able to pass on her gifts and knowledge on a larger platform to young, aspiring dancers. She would appear on the show on and off for 7 years. In 2008, Alan would return to The Great White Way, this time as a director. She directed Cat on a Hot Tin Roof by Tennessee Williams with an all-black cast for the first time on Broadway. The all-star cast included James Earl Jones and Felicia Rashad as Big Daddy and Big Mama, as well as Terrence Howard as Brick and Anika Noni Rose as Maggie. This marked Debbie Allen's first time directing on Broadway, and she is now known to have directed, choreographed, and acted in all mediums of the industry. In February of 2009, Alan was presented with a Lifetime Achievement Award at the Carnival Choreographers Ball 10th Anniversary Show. The award honored her contributions to dance and choreography. Also in 2009, she starred as Principal Angela Sims in the movie musical remake of Fame. Talk about coming full circle. She is still the only person to appear in all 3 franchises. In 2010, she joined the team of Grey's Anatomy as a director and executive producer. The show was already in season 6, and Alan began working as an actress in episode 5 of season 8. Her character, Dr. Catherine Avery Fox, is Jackson Avery's mother.
No, no, you do not get to do that. You do not get to stand there in judgment of me. 30 years ago, getting harassed at work, getting groped at work, wasn't something we could protest. It was something we had to take with our morning coffee. It was part of the job. And if we made a noise, if we fussed, we were told we were overreacting. And more often than not, we lost the job and our reputation along with it. I was not then who I am now. I didn't have the voice then that I have now. I had choices. I could stand there and let your grandfather fire those women and drag them through the mud, or I could make sure they got some money, a leg to stand on, a path to move forward on. I'm not ashamed of myself, Jackson. But I am ashamed of what your grandfather did. And I'm so sorry that now you have to carry that burden along with me. And I'm sorry that that burden just might bring this family, this entire hospital, and all of his hospitals down.
Created by Shonda Rhimes, Grey's Anatomy touches on many important topics, including mass shootings, feminism, same-sex marriage, addiction, death, and much more. The show is also known for its diverse cast and its ability to tell the stories of those who are sometimes left in the dark, such as the LGBTQ community and Black Indigenous people of color. Alan's character has played a role in this as well, being featured as a Black urological surgeon who is strong and independent in her stride. Now in season 17, Grey's Anatomy is currently the longest-running scripted series on ABC. In 2014, Alan was nominated for an NAACP Image Award for Outstanding Supporting Actress in a Drama Series. Over the years, Alan has continued to direct hundreds of television shows and a number of films. Some of her credits include directing episodes of That's So Raven, All of Us, Girlfriends, Everybody Hates Chris, Let's Stay Together, Scandal, and the list goes on. In 2020, her Dance Academy was seen in a special Netflix documentary film called Dance Dreams, Hot Chocolate Nutcracker. The documentary follows Alan and a handful of her students as they prepare for their annual award-winning holiday version of The Nutcracker.
I am looking for young dancers that have life and energy and want to be on stage, that can become a character, that can become a doll or a monkey or a fairy. So you have to think of yourself not just as a dancer, but as an actor. There's a lot of opportunity for you to show me where I could use you and know that I will do my best to keep you where I think you belong. And if you're not ready after the end of today, don't feel bad. Just know that you need to train a little more, okay?
Also in 2020, Alan directed and choreographed Dolly Parton's Christmas on the Square, which released on Netflix back in November. Now in her early 70s, it is evident that Debbie Allen has left her mark on this world. Her versatility and her artistry makes her one of the most respected people in the industry. She now has 3 successful children with Norm Nixon and helps take care of her 98-year-old mother. She was awarded with an honorary doctorate from the North Carolina School of the Arts and continues to impact those around her, young and old, through her art. What a tremendous career she has. Debbie Allen truly deserves all the praise in the world for her beautiful gifts and talents.
As a young girl, all I ever wanted to do was dance. Growing up in Houston, Texas, dance was my life when I was 4. I got into the Houston Ballet Foundation when I was 13, turning 14 years old. I was the first Black student they ever had. The board didn't even know I was there. They got really upset when they found out. But then when they saw me dance, they were like, okay, you know what? She can dance. We just keep this quiet. Keep it quiet. And I was the hope for my whole family, for my community. And I trained in 14 classes a week when I was in high school. Talk about driven. So when it was time for me to go to college, I knew I wanted to go to the North Carolina School of the Arts. I wanted to pursue the ballet and just get even more skill and opportunity to perform. I flew all the way when I was 17 years old. I had never gone anywhere by myself. I was the best thing in the audition. And at the end of the audition, they used me to demonstrate and help the other girls know what to do. I went into the office and I wanted to know when would I be starting. And the man told me no. He told me no. this is not the right world for you. You need to go into something else. Your body is not right for dance. He told me I would never make it in the dance. And when I had to call home and tell my dad, he thought I was teasing. It was the hardest conversation I ever had. He wouldn't believe me. Oh, going on, girl, when you starting? Daddy, they're not gonna take me. I don't think they want any black kids. Oh, girl, come on now. We know you're gonna make it. I got home to the airport. My mother was there crying. The hardest thing she ever did, the worst thing I thought she ever did. And she said to me, Deborah, you failed. I said, Mama, I was the best thing in the audition. They used me to demonstrate. He didn't want, you failed, Deborah, you failed. Thank you, Mama, because she wasn't gonna let me just be a victim and be a victim of what somebody else's opinion about who I was going to be and what I wanted to be. I had to make that determination for myself at 17, a lot younger than you at this moment. I could have stopped. Well, later after, three Emmy Awards for choreography, world-class dancer, choreographed the Oscars 10 times, that university gave me my first honorary doctorate. The first. North Carolina School of the Arts. And the only real lesson behind that is that perception is a learned phenomena. Perception can change. That was his perception of me. That wasn't my perception, that was his. You're going to get out into the world and people will say no, or that idea doesn't make sense, or no. Let's try something different. You have to know who you are. You have to commit and believe, dream and do. It can happen. What you gonna do now? They're still waiting for me to come back over there. But perception is something we really need to consider. It is the organization, identification, interpretation of sensory information in order to understand the environment. Perception signals results in your physical stimulation. Light strikes the retina, smell comes from odor molecules, hearing from pressure waves. But I believe the real world is the unseen world. The world of thought, of discovery, of ideas, of passion. You can't see it. You can feel it. You can describe it. You can't see it in its moment. You can see the result, maybe, yeah. We're in a time where you must go beyond your senses to become successful. You have to let your mind penetrate time and space, redefine reality every moment of the way. Dream it, make it so. You have to think outside of the box. Sometimes that means being lonely. Sometimes it might mean getting mad. But it means you have to believe. I came into the world wanting to just dance. I've become a producer, a director, an author, a composer. I produced Steven Spielberg's Amistad. That was my project that I brought to him. Everyone told me no for 18 years. The movie is history now. This September, I will open a new musical at the Brisbane Festival in Australia that will address gun violence and the challenges of our young people in the inner city with guns, police, gangs, religion, education. In Brisbane, because I live in Los Angeles and it affects me. It has affected me for the last 20 years that I've lived there to read the paper and see a little kid, a wonderful young child, gone for no reason. Mistaken identity, child gone. Too young, gone. I'm doing something about it. What you gonna do now? What are you gonna do now to take hold of this world? We are waiting for you. They asked James, what you gonna do now? And James answered, he said, Bobby, I don't know, but whatsoever it is, it got to be funky. Make it funky, y'all. God bless you. Make it funky.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the episode. You can follow me on social media at Blackder Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts to get updates on new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Keep listening for special hints about the next episode. Until then, I'm Gabe Moses, and Black Artists Matter.
You told Hopper!